Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Crosswalk Talk with ordained ministers Carlotta Waldman and her co-host Pat Torek. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross so that we can walk the walk and live the life in Him. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your opportunity to share true stories of God intervening in the lives of real people today. Stories of miraculous healing, intervention, God's provision, divine appointments, or of receiving undeserved favor. Carlotta Waldman is an author, Bible college educator, and ordained minister of counseling. Pat Torek is an evangelist, worship leader, and healing prayer minister. Now here's Carlotta Waldman.
We are so glad to have you with us today. And in this season, when we're trying to be thankful, God loves a cheerful heart, and we're looking at all the ways that God has blessed us, set us free, restored us, or rescued us. We're looking at how to be thankful also in some of the things that it's hard to be thankful. Like the Bible says to be thankful in all things, right? At least not for all things. And sometimes, though, there's that part of us that just jumps up and it says, how? How can we be thankful? And why, God, why? Why did you let them criticize me over and over or judge me? And or why am I not more successful? Why can't I get employment? Or what about my performance, God? Why do you enable me to do better and to earn their approval and all these questions that we may have for God? I know you've never thought like that. But we're looking at, are we truly thankful? And I was introduced to the Crosswalk Prayer by an Elijah House minister several years ago, Ellen Ferry in Atlanta, and she just basically saved my life. And she was pointing out to me, in this prayer you can ask God, why? Why am I receiving these criticisms as a way of life? Why are people judging me as a way of life? Why does it seem like I can't get ahead? And you can ask Him, and God has broad shoulders, and He can handle that. And at first I resisted it because I thought, this is not my fault. You know, they're doing it to me. But then I began to realize there is cause and effect. There is sowing and reaping sometimes. And when there's a pattern that won't go away, that I can ask God, did I sow it? Did I judge it? Did I dishonor somebody? You know, did I make an inner vow, I'll never do this, and have a judgmental attitude as I did it? Well, today we have a guest with us that's very dear to my heart. I'd like to introduce Teresa, who is a friend of mine, but she was also a charter member of Now Faith TV, and that means when we first started the first year, she was right there in that first year and has continued to be a faithful supporter, student, friend, prayer warrior ever since. And I want to welcome Teresa to share with us how she began to ask God why or how did this get started, and how God began showing her the roots or the block. Well, Teresa, you just take it away and let us know how this has been working in your life.
Well, thank you, Carlotta. It's so great to be here. I'm just so excited and to be able to share part of what God has been doing in my life. When I looked back over my notes, I realized that God has been working this way in my life for about 3 years now. I just have to say the Crosswalk Prayer, how it puts everything together to give such a pattern of, you know, how we can repent and what our part is in the repentance, even when other people have hurt us and we have had patterns in our lives. And I had known for a long time that I needed help and deliverance. I've known the Lord for a long, long time, ever since I was a small child and I was brought up in church, and I didn't realize that I had unforgiveness or judgment and bitterness and the inner vows and even the generational sins that the Crosswalk Prayer talks about. It was a real eye-opener for me, because if you had asked me right off the top, I wouldn't have even known about those kinds of sins that were buried so deep. It was not on a conscious level that I knew that I even had those. But once I looked at some of the patterns in my life, I had to say, after reading the Crosswalk Prayer and looking at the spiritual roots of my problems and my percentage of it, I don't think I'd ever really looked at it that way. And knowing that other people have hurt me in my life, I thought I had forgiven everybody, but no, I hadn't. I hadn't even gone through the process sufficiently. And this is so all-inclusive that once you go through the pattern of the crosswalk prayer, the enemy just doesn't have any more weapons that he can use against you. And the Lord had just started revealing things to me.
Hallelujah. God is so faithful. He will answer our prayers. He's not playing a game and not trying to leave us in the dark. But if we will look at a pattern in our lives and say, God, is this in any way my responsibility? He will show us, won't he? If there is some way that we have sowed into this and we're reaping, and the good news is that we can then renounce it or confess it. Amen?
Amen. The confessing part and the renouncing part is just so key to getting free of patterns. And I know a lot of listeners have not had an introduction to the crosswalk prayer, but you have that on your website, and I know people can go to it and find it and start their own journey, because it is a journey. It's taken me several years, and I have to say that it has come off in layers of different deceptions. And actually what happens is, and I know that you understand this very well, but the listeners probably don't, there are strongholds in our mind, our soul, and they don't even want to be discovered. So once we start on this process, one good way that God works that the listeners may even want to consider is starting a dream journal. And I can look back on my dreams and meditate on them as God's given them to me. And he started revealing patterns in my life after I started with the crosswalk prayer, that in the dreams, once I started learning about dream interpretation, I could see that there were patterns that he was pointing to that were in my past. And once I started looking at those, that gave me an area to focus on. So he would just show me and, you know, know that there's always a fleshly pattern that we have in our lives that's a sin pattern that needs to be confessed. It's not just what other people have done to us or how they've hurt us, but we do have a responsibility to confess our sin of hatred and bitterness and resentment. And in my life, I had a lot of judgment because certain people had hurt me. I didn't think they had ever been properly taken care of. I was angry at God for not dealing with those people, I thought, and you know, people, it seemed like they had just gotten off scot-free and were not being dealt with. But that's not the case. That was just a misconception on my part in a way that the enemy was able to keep judgment, bitterness, and anger, and even hatred down there that I didn't even know existed. It's really important to look at our emotions and just really be honest of what kind of emotion is it that, you know, once you look at the scriptures, then you can see that God doesn't ever want us to be hating people. He doesn't want us to be judging people. And he doesn't even want us to have inner vows that people are never going to hurt us again and you won't let people close to you and things like that.
It was so awesome to me. And at first I didn't like it, though, I have to say that, because when people were deceitful, or when they were judgmental, or when they talked about me, I wanted to just blame them and say, why, God, why? And I did not like this prayer at first. But then I realized, if I won't look at how I have sowed this, I'm not going to be able to stop reaping it. So I finally became more aware that it's not God's problem. And I can't just be the victim of other people forever. That's not a fun answer. I have to look at my responsibility, just like you said. And so I began to just ask those questions at the top of the prayer. Did I judge somebody? You know, I'm being judged, so did I sow it myself? Did I have a negative expectation, expected people to fail, and now they do? Well, I was believing for the wrong thing. Did I dishonor authorities, parents? Oh, that was a long list. I began to make a list. And have I really just been copying the parents' patterns or the patterns in the generations And I expect different results when I'm doing the same things they did, you know, going down the same street, stepping in the same holes, expecting different results. And I saw if I could repent, if I could ask forgiveness five ways, if I could not only ask others to forgive me and I would forgive them, but if I would ask God to forgive me for judging them, dishonoring them or whatever, if I would forgive myself, if I would ask God to forgive me for my part in it, maybe it was a two-sided argument, and if I would ask God to forgive me for blaming him, that he's the one holding up the process, then I could get free of this pattern.
Yes, and also we really, even the ones that have brought us down this path and some of these sins against us, it's our responsibility also to forgive them and let them go. Because it's very plain the Father won't forgive us until we forgive others their debt. And that's so important for God to even start healing the other people that have done things to us, is just to release them. And in the Spirit, I believe that that is starting a process in their life. Once they're forgiven, we've forgiven them.
And I guarantee you and everybody that's listening that God wants to bless us. And he wants to prosper us, and he has a wonderful plan for our life, and he wants to help us get on our way, and he wants to get the blocks out of our life. So all we need to do is pray this prayer and say, God, show me if there's something on my part that's holding things up. Because I guarantee that most of the time, it's not that we're waiting on God. He's waiting on us to say, is it my fault? Am I the problem? Duh. And so when we ask God, did I do something to sow into this pattern and now I'm reaping it, he will respond. But what really interests me in knowing you, Teresa, is the ways that he shows you how there was cause and effect, or what you sowed, or what needs prayer. Please tell us more about that.
I look back over my dream journal, and two particular dreams came back to me, my recollection. And one of them had to do with, there are a lot of dream interpretation books out there, but I found a really good one, and my prayer partner had introduced me to that, and let me just say here that she has been an awesome, awesome, awesome healing part of what God has done. But knowing some of the interpretation of the dreams, I had a dream one night where I saw this family in a black car. It was a big car. And it was going backwards, and it was out of control. And I saw inside the car this little girl, that it was just so out of control. And this little girl was just, I could see her face pressed up against the window, like just in horror, what's happening to me? And the car went down into a ravine between two houses, and I was actually in another car, so I pulled out onto the highway, and I passed by the area. And I could see down in the ravine, it was just a deep hole, but I could hear singing. So I could see little blue lights, and I could hear singing. Which what that did is, and a lot of times dreams will be really personal. So it pointed to a pattern in my life of when I was a younger, preschool or early school age, a church that we had attended was in a basement. They had laid the foundation of the church, and they had built the basement part first, and the singing was just the singing of God's, just hymns, and the little blue lights are just the faintness of the power that that church had. Now, growing up, my parents had me in denominational churches that didn't really practice much of the spiritual giftings, and they loved the Lord and they taught the word, but as far as seeing manifestations of God's power at work, of healings and deliverances and just the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that church wasn't open to it. But they did have some power, and that's what that indicated. The black car seemed to indicate to me that the family was captive, especially this little girl who I saw was captive of a sin pattern in that family, and going backwards points to the past. So God was showing me that there were sin patterns in the past that was the time period that he wanted to start with me, was when I was preschool. So that gave me some clues that, okay, all right, Lord. But when I woke up that morning, I asked him more about that dream. And in my prayer time that morning, he asked me, he said, just by the Spirit, he says, you need to break the family curse. And so that's what I did, is I immediately, in Jesus' name, broke the family curse that had been operating in my life. And immediately, even that morning, I felt a release of something that came off of me. So this has been a gradual process of, you know, where God, he knows where he wants to start. And so he gave me a clue of where he wanted to start. So I had to start looking after that at family patterns. And you know a lot of what's going on with me now, but at that time that was just the start of just uncovering some family patterns in my life. And how awesome he is to just give us dreams and clues, and he just gives it to where we can understand, and he wants us to understand, but we need to seek him about it, and he'll answer if we have anything that we don't understand.
I want to make sure I understand, Teresa. So the black car then represents the sin, and it was going backwards and all this. What about the two houses? One was the church, you know, that was down below where the singing was, and the other house?
It was in a neighborhood. What God was showing me, that it was in a neighborhood of houses, which was pretty accurate of where this church was located. It's just really close to the neighborhood where I lived growing up.
And again, the blue lights?
The blue in dream language usually indicates power. The fact that they were very faint indicated that that particular church had some power, but not much. They were not able really to help us as much as what we really needed to, but God was still faithful, and he did some work there through that church body, and they were a blessing to my family. It's just that there are such severe problems, you know, it just took a long time for God to bring me to a place of healing.
And so was it a relief, or was it a huge burden, or how did it feel when God answered with his dream and related it to a personal pattern that had come down through the family?
Well, I was glad to know that that was part of it, because I had just known for a long time I needed deliverance. Even though I've grown up in church, I'm thinking, what in the world? Why do I have this feeling that I need such deliverance? Because I couldn't think of, you know, I wasn't living a perfect life, but even some of the other dreams I had that indicated some other patterns. And for instance, I had a dream probably within another day or two. In this dream, I went to the front door. There were people at the front door, and these were two men that looked like construction workers, and I wasn't familiar with them. They weren't friends in my dreams. And when I went to the door, I made a remark like, what the hell do you want? And so God gave me a clue even in that remark. That it was a problem coming from the evil side. And so as I opened the door to them for them to come in, they brought with them, I could see an old grandmother woman. And she was sitting in a chair. And I didn't even see her in my living room until I opened the door for those fellas. And once I opened the door, I turned around and I saw her sitting there, and she was like this old crone. I mean, she wasn't a nice grandmother. She looked like an old crone that was very ancient, and she was situated in my room pointing to the back door. And then as I also looked, the construction workers, I noticed, had already been there, and they had left a mark on my back door with their foot. So God was really showing me that there was a lot to do in my past, and the old crone grandmother was another indication of some generational ancient patterns that were going on in my life. It also indicated to me that it was an inherited thing passed down that has to do with some strong women in my family. Not necessarily of the good kind, a little bit more domineering and controlling and manipulative and not good things. The construction workers always seem to indicate in my dreams something that the enemy is trying to make out of wood. And wood is not usually a good spiritual builder. I mean, in my dreams, in fact, because these fellows were not friendly. They were part of the problem of, I guess you could say, the construction workers were demons. That's what they usually indicate in my dreams, and that they had been building a fleshly structure. And so that points again to, okay, I've got some responsibility here. Even though there are these things going on, what's my responsibility and what do I need to repent of? What lie am I believing?
Wow. Now, I want our listeners to know I'm hearing these, you know, mostly afresh. Maybe we talked about it a couple of years ago or something, but I'm tracking right with them, you know, to hear what you're saying and how you understand dreams. And I just got the two dream books that you recommended. I haven't had time to read them, so I'm just kind of on the same level as a lot of our listeners. But God was making it so clear that it was an inherited pattern, that it wasn't good, that it had to do with the women in the family, and the workers. I can see how construction would have to do with wood, and that's in contrast then, like wood, hay, and stubble, in contrast to works that last, you know, that Christ does through you.
Right, right. Fleshly structures. Yeah, God has just given me some really wonderful giftings of being able to see in the Spirit. And he told me, oh gosh, I can't even remember how many years ago, but when he first started opening my spiritual eyes, he told me that dream symbolism and vision symbolism is the same. And so I'm able to, even in my dreams, apply, you know, what I'm learning and have learned about dream symbolism to even the visions. And a lot of times when I would even pray over some of the bad patterns in my life, say judgment, I had a huge, huge sin of judging and dishonoring my parents. And once I started on the road of repenting, sometimes he would even show me a vision of like a wooden structure. And once I repented, it would be like dynamite blowing a wall down. So he just confirms things that way with me. And usually when I'm praying and repenting, he'll give me a picture of what, you know, he's really doing in the spirit too, which is a great confirmation. And just to know that even though the enemy has been working for generations to trap me and the rest of my family in the same patterns, they don't get to anymore because they've been uncovered. And it was a huge eye-opener. I mean, the whole process of the crosswalk prayer was a huge eye-opener, being able to take responsibility and bring my fleshly structures to the cross. That's another huge one, to just bring that to the cross, because we can't get rid of it ourselves. Only Jesus can. He's the one.
And I've always said that he died and shed his blood so that he could forgive our sins, you know, even one by one. But he also died on the cross so that we could take our fleshly structures to the cross and really believe that he would bring them to death. And we don't have to deal with this whole sowing and reaping and fleshly structure forever. Amen?
Amen.
But I want to say that you're doing a great job, too, of pointing out that we are asking God to show us, and we're not simply doing it with soulish or natural knowledge. We're not just taking the dream book and its symbols and just applying it without asking God. And even like an example, the wood that you brought up is that you're a professional decorator, right? And
right.
You're used to dealing in materials, and wood is a valuable material. But when you combine asking God what the problem is, and then he gives you wood in contrast to eternal things that have no corruption and don't rust, then you can see how God uses the symbols that are familiar to an individual and answers their prayer and shows them what the key to healing is, because he wants us to be healed and he wants us to be set free. And so he was ready to answer with this dream.
He was, and you know, like you're saying, you do have to seek him, because it's not enough just to go down through the symbols and the description of the symbols. Sometimes those are really personal things that mean something to you, and we always have to seek him and ask him, is this right? Am I going in the right direction? And he'll give the answer, because he wants us to know. But the important thing is that the dreams get around the strongholds. That's what's so important, is if you don't really know what it is that's plaguing you or how did it come to be, then the dreams are able to get around those strongholds, those barriers that the demonic have erected in our thinking patterns for so long, and God's able to give us the clues in order for us to go the direction he wants us to go.
Hallelujah. I want to encourage our listeners to call our toll-free number if you have questions, but don't call it till the program is over so that I can talk with you. It's 866-480-LIVE. And I want to ask you a question right now, if I can, Teresa. I've got so much confidence in you, how God has been training you up with this gifting. I dreamed that I was not only in someone else's truck, who knows whose, and I don't know the color, but that I was sitting backwards in the driver's seat, which is not easy to do. So when the truck started rolling downhill, it wasn't easy for me to grab the wheel or to put my foot on the brake. And I was so happy that when I rolled downhill and went across into the road that I wasn't hit or didn't kill anybody, but I was able to then go up a hill and it came to a stop just because of gravity, and I was finally turned around then. But I just got out of the truck and went shopping, oblivious to the fact that I could have been arrested for stealing someone's truck. And, you know, now it's on a hill and who to contact. And I just went shopping.
That sounds like a lot of fun. You know what? God is so funny. He will give us dreams, and a lot of times we have to just pay attention to our emotions in the dream, too. So the fact that you didn't feel afraid, you were kind of wondering, well, why can't I control this? You know, even the truck, it symbolizes there's been a time in your life that maybe you were just, like, not in control, but God was guiding the vehicle, and it came to a stop in a pleasant place, and you were able to go out shopping. So you weren't hurt, and you were able to even go out and do, and I don't really remember what shopping means, but it may mean you need to talk to the Lord about what does that shopping mean. But anyway, it was a good thing. You weren't hurt. You got to a pleasant place, and the Lord is always in charge here, so he'll tell you more about what that means.
So even though I was in the wrong place at the wrong time going backwards, at least I didn't hurt anybody or get hurt. And I was able to go on from there.
Mm-hmm. It signifies, it seems like to me, since you were faced backward in the vehicle, that there's something in your past that God sometimes confirms things in my dreams, and so it may be a confirmation dream, is that you may have looked at the past and some things had gotten out of control, but that God was still guiding that vehicle, which usually a vehicle means your life or your ministry. And the fact that it was a truck means a fairly large ministry where you can carry people. So there are a lot of good dream symbols in that. So I would just advise people to pay attention to directions. What direction is it going? If it's going backwards, it usually indicates the past. What color is the vehicle? What directions you're looking or going or walking? Because the east and the west and the left and the right mean different things, too, and those kinds of things. And walking is about our spiritual walk, usually. It's how our spiritual walk is being carried out by our actual walking in the dream.
Well, hallelujah. I was concerned that since I was in somebody else's truck, that it was like this condemning message, you know, that I'm in somebody else's business and all this stuff, and maybe I was. But it sounds like the point that God is making is that when we pray and we ask God to forgive us, or we forgive others, or we ask him to forgive us for blaming him or what we've done or not forgiving ourselves, that it does come to a good result, and God does bring it to a stop, and we are able to go on with life.
That's right.
How about share another one? Share another one. I can't wait.
Well, I had understood that some of my dreams at this particular point, and some of them still indicate I have some personal pets, and one particular pet would show up in my dream a lot at this stage in my journaling. And what God was showing me is that this personal pet of mine, who's a cat, in one dream she was locked in this cage, and it was a wire cage so I could see in it, but she couldn't get out. And what she did in this dream was my cat, she went to the very back of the cage, and it had a dirt floor, and she started digging. So God was, I'm telling you, he's so funny. He was showing me this is about my identity. And she showed up in a lot more of my dreams, but usually when I see my pet cat in there, I know God's showing me that that's my identity and part of my identity. And he started early on showing me that I had a problem with who I am and what my identity really is. And part of my identity was trapped, and it relates to the past. And so it took me a long time. As you know, it's taken me several years, but the Lord's finally gotten to some roots of some of this stuff. And lo and behold, I have had identity issues, and he definitely wants to heal our identity if we have problems. So that's another indication.
Well, let me say a couple of things for those that don't know, that one of the first things we do when we ask God for information like this and we get a dream is we ask God if the characters in the dream are all part of us. We don't assume that it's the cat's problem.
Right.
Even if it had been a parent or something. Actually, we don't even assume that the parent is literal until we've asked God, are all the characters in the dream part of us? And when the cat was digging, that's pretty clear, isn't it? That it's okay.
It's pretty clear. She was digging up dirt, too.
God wasn't like condemning you then for being introspective and analytic and digging up dirt. What was he saying?
He was showing that I needed to do some more digging, that I needed to continue on the path, and that whatever dirt, which is sin, it comes up. You know, it's my part to confess my part and to forgive other people. It's just really important to kind of look at the characteristics of some of these pets. Now, I've had pet dogs in my dreams. I've had my pet cat mostly. And cats usually in dream language are more indicative of our will. So I have had some very severe damage in the area of my will, where my will was overridden. And I have been held captive. Parts of me have been held captive. But praise God, they're all coming apart. All the lies and all the traps of the enemy, and that God has just started freeing me up.
Amen. And we won't go into detail unless you want to offer to, but for those of you who are listening that have had serious, serious repetitive damage to your identity, you might understand why Teresa would feel relieved that God is saying, you're on the right track, it is about your identity. And we're going to go deeper into this. And so it's like a confirmation that you're going in the right direction, and it's worth doing.
It is. It's definitely worth going that direction. And he gave me another dream. I went to see the doctor, who was a heart surgeon, and that doctor is Jesus. And I was on the operating table, and he showed me my heart. It was really interesting because not only was I an assistant to him, like a nurse assistant in the surgery, I also was the person on the surgery table, and I could see that there was a black thread wrapped around the lower portion of my heart, and that he was telling me in that he was going to be the doctor, and that he even told me after I got up that morning, he even told me that it was going to take time for the stitches and for the black thread to dissolve. But so that gave me hope that he was in charge of it. He's the doctor, and I can just trust him to just bring it step by step to me. Another revelation in that particular dream was I had my purse sitting next to the door of the office. So a purse usually indicates your personal identity or your heart or, more importantly,
your treasure.
Yeah, my treasure. And so he was showing me that it was about my identity again. And interestingly enough, it was a crocodile purse like they had back in the 50s. And you know, that relates to, and I don't mind telling people that I was born in the 50s, so that related to me again. God was just showing me that he was going to be there and help me with my identity problems.
I not only love God's sense of humor, I mean that he would give you all of these clues in a symbolic way. He's just so interesting.
Oh, it is really interesting. It's fascinating. I mean, and it does make you want to seek him, like, okay, what does this mean? You know, because it's not in the dream book. So you've got to say, oh, yeah, well, that's when I was born. No wonder that's part of my identity, you know? And he gives other things, and colors are really important, too.
One more thing. Now, I want us to get this clearly while we're on this, because these are excellent dreams. You were not only assisting him, but you were on the table. And how does that relate to your prayer of asking him to reveal things to you?
Well, it relates to the prayer that he's showing me that the black thread, black usually indicates sin, and usually always. Now, it can be beauty, but in this context, I think he was showing me a sin pattern or a thread that was woven through my heart. And the fact that I was both helping him and a patient of his is that there is a part that I have to play.
Right, that we have to be ready. God doesn't want to damage us. He doesn't want to just hurt our feelings or increase our wounds. He's waiting for us, I believe, to say, okay, obviously you aren't the problem. I can't go through life just blaming other people. I want the power to do something about this pattern in my life. I'm ready. Show me my part in it.
That's right. And I've been so blessed to have a wonderful prayer partner that she's the one that introduced me to the dream books. We started on the crosswalk prayer, and it was just really important. Sometimes we'll get stumped on what is God saying, and it's important to have somebody that's a spirit-filled prayer partner that can hear from the Holy Spirit, that can say, well, I'm hearing this, and this is the direction I believe. That's the sin, and that's what we need to repent of and break the power of and do all of the crosswalk prayer, hit all those points.
And for those of you that don't really know what we're talking about if you go to our website, if you search for Crosswalk Life, or if you go to www.cwlinc.com, you can look at the search box at the bottom of any page. Now, there's over 300 articles on that site, and it's all free. But you can search for crosswalk prayer, and it will come up immediately, and it will show you how to ask God these questions and how to ask forgiveness five ways when you're done. And so Teresa and her partner have been doing this for a couple of years and are getting better and better at hearing God, understanding his answers, being more comfortable with the progress they were making as they really open their hearts up to the surgeon to say, God, I want a whole heart. I want you to heal me. I want to be free to know you intimately and get all the blocks or the black threads out of my heart. Purify my heart, Lord.
And he's so faithful. He does that. He really does. He's been just waiting, and he's patient. He's patient with us. Even if we don't get it the first time, he'll give us another dream that'll show us another, you know, it's like he'll repeat it until we can get it. He knows.
Amen.
He knows.
And we can ask him again. Recently, I had a big question on my heart that I haven't thought about in years. And some people might say, is this digging up the past? Well, I say no if it concerns you now, or if it's a pattern that's going on now, or it's a block that's holding you back now. That's not the past. That's current. But it's not to say that the seed you sowed that you're having to reap now might not have been in the past, and we forget about it. And so God is so gracious to remind us that, oh, yeah, your heart is constricted with this black thread, and this is where it started, and he even gave you the crocodile purse stamp to let you know it's not what you did yesterday.
Right.
It was a while back.
Well, and you know, Carlotta, because as children, we'll grow up thinking all kinds of things are normal with us because it's always been there as long as we can remember. And so sometimes we have to go back to early childhood.
And in Now Faith TV Ministry Training School, we encourage people to have a prayer partner as you listen to each one of these videos or audios, and go ahead and pray about it right then and there. We don't want you burdened down with guilt or being introspective or blaming yourself. We want you to be able to go ahead and pray about it right then. And she has been such a help to you to be able to see what God is saying. Bless her, Lord.
She has. She's been an awesome, 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 awesome. I can't tell you how awesome she's been in my life. She's just been obedient to the Lord. And really, you know, God just wants us all to be blessings to each other. And it's not about, I think, these last days, it's not about one particular person that has the anointing that's just going to be some superstar. He wants all of us to be activated in our spiritual gifting so that we can actually go out into the marketplace and actually do one-on-one with other people and let, you know, just be confident that Holy Spirit's going to work through us, because he certainly does. He wants us all to be activated.
Amen. And he wants us to be free of anything that's holding us back. So in praying this prayer, we're not walking in condemnation. We're trusting a wonderful Heavenly Father that loves us enough to tell us what the cog is in the wheel if we're just ready to ask him. And on Now Faith TV, we encourage you, just for $10 a month, just to get to know God better, listen to these lessons. Now, they're all on something different. They're not all on dream interpretation, but it's all about knowing God more intimately. And so has this process of being willing for God to show you what the blocks are in your life, has it made a big difference, you know, in your intimacy with God?
Oh, no doubt. It's just amazing, just the freedom. And I would encourage your listeners, if they don't know how to prayer journal, I know you have a teaching on that, on how to hear the Lord's voice. And once you start listening to the Lord talk to you personally and individually, and how affirming he is, how healing he is, he's so much of a gentleman that he will not hurt us in any way, but he will kind of bring us to the place where he wants to show us that we do have sin patterns that we need to confess. And that's just hindering our relationship with him. It's a walk, Carlotta. It really is a walk of getting to know him better and being able to trust him. I mean, early on, for listeners, if you will just give the Lord permission to do whatever he needs to do to help you to see the problems and the roots to the patterns, he wants to get those roots up so that you can be healed and be in better relationship with him, so that we can walk as victors in our life and not as victims.
Amen. Why don't we pray for our listeners right now, because this is a new road to go down for many people. They're not used to interacting with God. They're not used to believing that he'll answer in a still small voice or a dream or a vision or anything else. Let's just pray for them right now, Teresa. Go ahead.
Lord, I just thank you so much for this day. I thank you, Lord, that we are victors in Jesus Christ, that he alone is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we can trust him because, Lord, we trust you, Lord. We trust you. We've seen how you work in our lives. You're at work big time on the earth today, Lord. And there are many people that have been held captive and held bondage by the enemy. And we just send your word right now to break off those bonds, to set the captives free, Lord, because that is your ministry. And we partner with you, Jesus, to set the captives free, Lord. Set the captives free, even today. That you, Lord Jesus, will work by your Holy Spirit, drawing people to yourself and having them to know, yes, I need to take another look at this area, and I need to confess my part of the sin And so that we can bring that fleshly structure to the cross, be forgiven, and forgive other people. And help us, Lord, to forgive other people because you've modeled that so well, Lord. And you've shown us that freedom comes in forgiving other people that have hurt us, forgiving ourselves, asking forgiveness from you, Lord, for blaming you, for allowing it to happen. Lord, we just know that all things work together for good, for those that love the Lord and are called according to your purposes. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that even sometimes the hard places that you bring us to, Lord, even just show some more things that need to be confessed and repented of. And in your mercy, you do that, knowing that those enemies cannot cross the boundaries that you have already set in place. So we pray for your hedge of protection, and we pray for your holy angels on assignment to do battle in the heavenlies, Lord, to set the captives free. And we just declare that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords, and his will be established, and his kingdom rule will be established on this earth, and all other things that will come under his feet. And so, Lord, we partner with you, Lord, to put those things under your feet. And we pray blessings upon Carlotta as she goes forth in this new venture. Lord, we just pray that that will just be astounding, Lord. We just pray for all the people that need to hear. Your Holy Spirit will cause them to be drawn to this program, Lord. And so, Lord, we just pray for courage and hope and confidence, Lord, that you are at work in our lives and in our world big time.
And, Lord, we thank you for answering these prayers. We come believing that you will, that you do want to set us free. You died on the cross so the patterns could be brought to death. Well, let me just encourage our listeners right now, because our time is almost up, to go to Crosswalk Life and to search for the Crosswalk Prayer, search for the Now Faith TV Ministry School, and know that just 2 years ago, Teresa didn't know all this either. But it's free almost. Many of the articles are free. The school itself is only $10, and you can get to that place where you have this powerful, interactive relationship with Jesus Christ, that you're able to trust him, to know he has your best interest at heart. I want to thank you so much, Teresa, for being with us. I thank you for the light that you've shed, the hope that you've given us, the new vision that we have, that we won't be stuck forever, but that God is quite happy to show us as we're able to hear it. He's able to show us how that we can get free and walk in the destiny that he's got for us and fulfill his will and his plan for our life. Thank you, Lord. We thank you that you love us and you have our best interest at heart and you have a wonderful plan for our life.
Area code 724. We'd like to take your call. What do you have to share with us tonight?
Hello?
Hello, this is Carlotta. You're on the air. Who am I speaking with?
This is John.
John, do you have a question or comment?
Well, I was the lady who is still on, right, that was talking about her dreams?
Yes. Therese, are you there?
I'm here. Mm-hmm.
I've only had one dream that I really remember. And interestingly enough, it was during a time when our church was emphasizing the Holy Spirit and the different gifts. And I was wanting to share it and see what your thoughts were about it.
Okay, I'll see what the Lord gives me. He's the one.
Okay. First off, give you a background. I grew up in a home where my father was in bondage to rage, and that was directed towards my mother almost all the time. But we grew up as the children in the house very afraid of him and that sort of thing. And actually, I was one of the, out of my brother and sister, I was the only one that did much with my dad. One of the things we did was go boating on a mountain lake, about an hour or two from here. And in the dream, it started off like in daylight, and I used to go water skiing with him, and I believe I was the one skiing, and we was in one part of the lake, and then we came into another part, and all of a sudden, I'm in the boat driving, and I don't even know if he was the driver at the first part, but it was dark. It had turned dark, and there was somebody beside me, I think maybe a family member or something, my wife or daughter or something, and the engine had turned off, and we were just drifting through the lake, and uncharacteristic of this lake. There was all of a sudden a bunch of like rocks and tree limbs and all that kind of stuff sticking up out of the water, and there was, you know, a lot of apprehension of, it was dark, we couldn't see, and all that sort of thing, and just coasting along. We didn't have any power in the boat to, the engine wasn't running, so we couldn't steer it and that sort of thing. And then the dream just kind of ended that we were on the bank, the boat had drifted up on a bank, and we were, and I looked over and there was like this log cabin, like a church camp cabin with like 12 and 13 year old kids running out from it. And then I woke up and just kind of wondered if you had any thoughts. It was interesting that that one dream that I can remember came about when we were doing that series in our church about the power of the Holy Spirit and that sort of thing.
Well, water usually indicates spirit. And in this setting, it seemed like mostly it was peaceful. But you did notice some rocks and some tree limbs. So that would indicate there's more below the surface, I would say. That's what I was getting at. There's a lot more below the surface. But you did notice that. It seemed like that would have been a snag, maybe, or a place to avoid. And the fact that it just drifted by itself, it seemingly, over to the bank, it seems like Holy Spirit is really taking you places even though you don't know. And it indicates, you're telling me, an age of about 13, like teenagers?
Yeah, around that age.
Mm-hmm. And there may be something significant about that time period in your life.
That might have been around the age that I, thinking about the age when I quit going up to the cabin with my dad, that we quit going boating up there. But somewhere around that age was around the time that I did go boating. It was something I did with him, but it was always, when we were there, it was always like with his anger and everything, it was a fear of making him angry and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded like you were apprehensive, John, with that, about feeling powerless, that the boat didn't have any power.
Yeah, the whole just drifting along and being afraid of hitting the rocks and stuff and seeing them sticking up.
Yeah, and you know what? Rocks are indicators of words a lot of times, especially seemed like it is appropriate for this.
Words?
Words, uh-huh. Words that someone speaks over you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't be so much words I was saying, but like words from other people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It seems like it fits in this particular instance.
Well, it sounds like the Holy Spirit is answering your prayer, John, to show you the things that are below the surface, and I would expect him to continue to show me. You know, you can ask for dreams, too, and that even if you feel like you're drifting along, that he's hard at work to unlock these things in your life, to heal you of the areas where you're apprehensive, to be the power source in your life, and to really bring about a real healing.
I would also recommend that you get a journal or just notebook. You could even start with a spiral notebook. And when the Lord gives you a dream, it's important, first thing in the morning before you get going, to write down what you can remember. And as we honor our dreams, you'll remember things, and he'll start telling you more.
Yeah, I'm wondering if this will be the interesting beginning of a time of these sort of things, because like I said, that's about the only dream I can really remember.
Well, and the fact that it had tree limbs under the surface, like Teresa pointed out, can represent some generational patterns that actually started before you. You weren't the original sower in this area. And God is ready. You know, anytime we'll agree with him and agree that a pattern, whether it's rage or something else, that's showing up in your life, and you might be thinking, where has this coming from. God is ready to show you what the tree limbs are, the branches in your family tree, and where it came from. And while we're not responsible for their choices, thank God that we can agree with God that that was sin and confess it as sin, agreeing with Him. And Jesus will just bring that sowing and reaping pattern to the cross and bring it to death. And then all we have to do is continue in agreement with Him that that was sin, and we're not choosing to go there.
Thank
Bless
you.
You. Have a wonderful night.
You too. Bye.
Thank you so much, Teresa. That really helped me and gave me some insight on that, too. Okay, let's see who else is on the line here. Area code 337, do you have something to share with us?
Yeah, my name is Kurt Dagle. Hi, Carlotta. How are you?
Hi, Kurt. We're so glad to have you on the program. What can you share with us?
Well, I'm not one on a lot of dreams. I have more visions than dreams, but I've had this dream of standing in front of a gold-plated cannon, and another one is being in a jet plane. And I was wondering if maybe this young lady could give me some insight.
You're standing in front of a gold-plated cannon?
Yes, on a hill.
Standing in front. Is it pointed toward you?
No, I'm standing on the side of it overlooking the hill.
Oh, okay. So you're in a high place.
Uh-huh.
And a gold cannon. Gold, normally in my dreams, signifies the presence of the Lord. And that's a warfare dream. That is a warfare dream. He's given you some serious ammunition. It's His ammunition, and you're, wow, that's awesome. Especially if you're standing on top of a mountain, that's a high place. Is that sort of like toward the heavenlies?
It's just, it's looking, it's on top of a hill overlooking down below. It's it was like it was in a city, but just standing overlooking, but just stand by the gold plate again, I found myself standing there.
Are you an intercessor?
Yeah, I do a lot of intercession.
Okay. That sounds like it, especially that you're protecting His, you've got some of His powerful weapons. Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is, I see myself in a jet plane. Not a big plane, it's a small jet. And I don't know what that's all about.
That's personal ministry.
Personal ministry.
Mm-hmm. That's a personal ministry jet going real fast. He's going to shoot you out there. Mm-hmm. You're going out there in the heavenly realms real quick.
Well, like I said, I don't have many dreams. Most of mine are visions. And in a way, they're similar, but in a way, they're different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty phenomenal. It's always good to be able to see things in the spirit realm. It really is. Well, I want to call and share with you and just get some insight into that. Enjoy
was there any more to the dream, Kurt? Was there any more to the dream besides being in the jet plane, or was it just that short?
Well, there were other people on the jet with me.
Okay.
Had no destination that I know of. It was a small to medium sized jet, and. Most of my stuff is just real short in nature. I don't get a bunch, you know, of information, you know, whenever I dream or have visions. It's bits and pieces. And being a prophet, you know, we tend to have more, you know, visions than dreams. And my wife is a dreamer. My wife, she dreams things quite often. But yeah, dude, that's why our difference is a lot. But it's neat. It really is.
Well, I don't know the indication of timing on this. I didn't hear a time stamp in it anywhere. But are you ready? Would you welcome this if you were shot out in the heavenly realm with a personal ministry, maybe increased over what you have now, and with powerful weapons like cannons?
Well, I've watched my words take on a new power that I never had before. I find myself speaking of things, especially the sickness and disease and circumstances in other people's lives, and I'm watching them change rapidly, such as today. And our words are very powerful. They're the ammunition that we can release into the spirit world. And I believe that everything that we say brings either life or death, according to the scripture, death and life in the power of the tongue. And we have this sword, and we're able to release the things of God into the earth. But at the same time, we're able to release the negative or the wrong or the evil into the earth as well. And I've watched my words become more precise. I've really watched my words more than I ever have in my life, because there's the authority. Whenever you come to know the authority in Christ and you live the crucified life, you take on a whole new different meaning in your walk with Christ. And it's really phenomenal. It really is.
Amen. Amen. Well, Father, I just bless Kurt. I bless him far more than he thought he could be blessed. I say your blessings will overtake him. He won't have to chase them down. That you have revealed to him your desire to move him from wherever he is now to a jet plane, and that he will have a strong impact because Christ is in him, speaking through him. And yes, we do have far more power in our words than we could ever imagine, and it is like a gold-plated cannon. Not that I've ever seen one. This is obviously from God, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you will set him on a high place. He won't have to do it himself, and I believe it'll be a suddenly, Kurt. It'll just be a suddenly. You'll be there, and it won't just be the same kind of warfare, the same kind of intercession, but that God is going to be lifting you up because you've humbled yourself before him, and he will be exalting you in this way because he knows when you can handle it. Amen?
Amen. Yes, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
So we just agree with it and leave the God's will and his way and his timing up to him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the cannon really, man, that was just show the power and the force behind God's weaponry there.
Amen. Let's see if we have someone else on the line. Area code 724-510-5122. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, Carlotta. How are you?
I'm fine. Is this Pat?
Yes, this is.
What do you have to share with us tonight?
I have to share, well, I've had many dreams and visions, but I want to share a vision because it's one of deliverance. And although the vision happened about 14 years ago, it must come to pass because prophecy cannot lie. I saw a person who was very bound. I saw this person standing right before me as clear as I've ever looked at anyone who's really, really there. And around this person's neck was a millstone, but who thinks millstone in these days? I mean, I just saw a stone collar that was so large. And that, of course, represents bondage. And all I thought was the word when. I didn't even have to be specific, but the Lord knew what I meant. And he said, when this person, and he said the name, will humble himself to me and pray, then I will shatter every yoke of bondage. And those were the exact verbatim words. And when he said that word shatter, that yoke burst into a million pieces. I mean, like the biggest piece in the air would be the tip of your little finger. It just shattered because I remember being so impressed. I remember thinking, wow, it would be like 4 sticks of dynamite in that. And that was just a vision of that person's deliverance.
Why 4 sticks of dynamite?
Oh, I was just thinking to myself, it just blew up so greatly. I mean, there was just like a million tiny pieces. I mean, this was the thickness would have been like 6 or 8 inches. And the width of this extended beyond the shoulders and went from the collarbone, the chest bone to the chin. I mean, it was very large. And when it, when he said shatter, when it blew up, when it shattered, the pieces blew out so far. And I just remember thinking, wow, I wonder how many sticks of dynamite would make it blow up like that. I mean, I knew it was the Lord, but I mean, I guess the four sticks of dynamite, I'm just trying to emphasize what a kaboom that was.
Well, you know, and the dream symbolism four is a symbol for the kingdom. It can be any kingdom, but in this context, it would be God's kingdom. And the Holy Spirit is that force, you know, that raised Jesus from the dead. So
absolutely.
We know, yeah.
And, you know, I was watching for the vision to come to pass because I expected that it would be soon. And then after about 7 or 8 years, I remember the attack of the enemy because I suddenly, for about 3 days, was just despondent that vision hadn't come to pass. And I felt so let down, really. And the Lord just, I opened up the Bible and it was Habakkuk. And this is what it said. The Lord wanted to speak to me concerning my despair. Instead of saying, do not despair, he took me to Habakkuk, and it said, for the vision, and I'm not reading this, I'm just going for my memory. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Though it tarry, wait for it. It shall surely come. It shall not lie.
And
that was God's way of saying, yes, yes, yes. God's like, it's on the way. I do not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, it shall surely come. And I've never despaired about it since.
Hallelujah. You know, that's the thing about being prophetic and hearing God's voice. You know things ahead of time. So the good news is you knew it would be shattered ahead of time. The bad news is you know way ahead of time.
You know what I believe? I believe that it's already been shattered. I believe I've already seen it shattered. In the spiritual, it just has not manifested on the earth because the man must play a role in his deliverance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The heart of God is to let you know your deliverance is waiting. I have it for you. I've already died and rose again to provide it. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for you to take this gift I have for you.
Yes. And when God gives us a prophetic, I'm a very strong believer. You know, things are spoken into existence. And I immediately that very same day made sure that I spoke that vision to that man because it needed to be spoken. That's part of it. So mm-hmm. God has done his part and I've done my part, and the man will do his part because I've seen it. You know how many times in the Bible it says, and it shall come to pass? So I just wanted to call in Carlotta and share that, maybe to encourage someone if they've had a vision, or a promise, and it's been a long time, and it hasn't come to pass, don't despair because God is not a liar, and he would not promise you something and not bring it to pass. And there are things that we do not know of timing and why the holdup. But nevertheless, it shall come to pass. And I also wanted to tell you, wonderful show, wonderful guest, and, you know, keep at it. This is just a fantastic media ministry going out all over the world, and I just congratulate you.
Well, we thank you for calling. Thank you for all your support, and you've certainly been a part of many a good program here in Crosswalk Talk. And we just bless you, Pat. We bless you with the peace mm-hmm. and rest that you've already got, but that God is showing you that he has heard your prayers, that he is in total agreement. In fact, he probably started that prayer in the first place, and you were agreeing with him. But
that, amen.
Just take it easy, that he is working hard on his end, and he's just giving that person a space of time of repentance. He's always so generous about that, just giving us as much time as we need. And we just thank you, Lord, that your timing is perfect, your love is perfect, and your love does take away all our fears. And we just thank you, Lord, and we bless you that you somehow can love every single one of us at once, and you always have our best interest at heart. Pat, I just pray that you'll have a wonderful night.
God bless you all.
Goodbye.
Bless you, dear.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we have someone else.
Hi, how are you, Carlotta?
I am fine. Who do we have here?
My name is Tori.
Tori.
I actually spoke with you before. Do you remember?
Yes.
Okay. I actually was calling to tell you about this dream slash vision that I had not too long ago, like within this week, of God just pouring something out into, like, the earth. Do you know what I mean? Well, what I understood it was that, like, there was an open hole in the earth, and he was pouring into the earth. And I was assuming that it was blessings into the earth. But right after that, a couple days later, I opened up my Bible to Matthew. And Matthew talking about planting seeds. And that's what I kind of interpreted it as. But I wanted to ask you guys what you thought about that.
Let me get the picture straight. You're seeing the earth as a big
globe.
I
saw it from, like, a bird's view. Well, a high, high bird's view. Because you know what I mean? Like, I saw the whole earth separating and God pouring something out into it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's, like, revival, if it was, like, blessings, what it was. But it was from, like, a huge, like, earthly view from, like, the skies.
Mm-hmm. And you saw a vessel that he was pouring from?
Mm-hmm.
And what color was it?
I don't know that I saw a color.
Did you see what came out of it, the vessel?
I should have. I mean, it just looked like, I would say kind of like a liquid substance. You know what I mean? I should have wrote it down after, like as soon as
liquid
I thought.
Liquid substance, she said.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a liquid substance, like anointing.
I would think like an anointing.
Mm-hmm. Was it a large hole in the earth that he was filling?
Yeah, it was like the earth separated.
Oh, it separated.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it was still hole in the bottom, but it was like it opened. Do you know what I mean? Like the earth opened and he like poured it into the earth.
Oh, the earth opened up to receive it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey,
well, that's
that sounds wonderful.
Yeah. So he's pouring in another anointing, and the earth
right.
is receiving
well,
it.
Well, see, I told Pat this, because Pat is my Christian mentor, and I told Pat, who just was on the phone with you guys, I told her about this, and, like, we talked and talked about it. We just never.
What water is it?
Sorry, my daughter's right here. we couldn't really, we had a couple different things of what it would be. Like a couple different interpretations of what it would be. So I was just sharing it with you guys to see what your interpretation would be.
It sounds wonderful, though, that the earth is opening up to receive something. Sometimes we get kind of a attitude and we think that that people aren't that receptive. But I've been noticing that I can begin to ask people if I can pray for them just in the parking lot, just in a store.
Mm-hmm.
We're absolute strangers. They're so wide open. I think they're so glad to receive something from God. They're not even suspicious anymore. They're like, who are you and where are you from, you know?
Right.
People are just so open to God these days. And you know, maybe part of it is just encouragement for us all to know that the earth is opening up to receive what God's
right.
pouring out. And mm-hmm. the fact that he's pouring it, it's not just a
right.
drizzle or a drip.
Right. And that's how it was. It was like he was filling the earth up. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I do completely understand what you say. It seems like complete strangers are more receptive than, like, people that we know to receive what we have to say. Because I actually work in a store, and people coming in, you could just see, like, the sadness on their face. Do you know what I mean? And to see that somebody that they don't know cares,
mm-hmm.
they're, like, so more much more receptive to that.
And, you know, I'm a busy person, and I think I had an error in my thinking. I would think that people are busy, you know, they don't want me offering to pray for them everywhere I go, that kind of thing. But I think that they're so blessed that someone would stop and
that
notice.
That somebody would care.
Yes.
Right.
The word that keeps coming to me is fresh oil.
fresh oil. He's pouring fresh oil.
That's awesome. That's really
from
awesome.
A vessel.
Mm-hmm.
Do you
it's
see
like
yourself
a
as a vessel?
You know what I mean? What did
Pardon
you say?
Me?
I said it was like a watering can. But did you say, do I see myself as a vessel?
Yes.
I do. I've been asking God for less of me and more of him. Is what my mission is.
So as a vessel of the Lord, a vessel of honor, as you allow him to fill you to overflowing, as you pour it out, there'll be places, people, I don't know, all over the world that will open up and receive.
Do you know what I just saw when you said that? Do you know those like little toys where you pour the water out into it and then it fills up full enough and then it pours it out and dumps it into another pot? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
That's what I just saw when you said that.
Well, the spring of living water is inside you, as Pat Song sings, and it never runs out. So you can just keep pouring, keep being filled, keep pouring. It fills you again.
Right. Well, thank you, guys.
Thanks for sharing.
Amen. Well, let's see if we have another caller here. We have area code 920. Are you there?
Yes, Carlotta, this is Pam.
Pam, what do you have to share with us tonight?
I have a few things I'd like to ask. One is, you know, I think that I'm a very visual person, but it seems like I can't remember my dreams. I used to be able to remember them vividly, but it seems like now that I can't, and I just wondered if there's a way that I can bring that back. You know, when I pray, I can see things. You know, God will give me, like, visions, but when I sleep, when I wake up, I mean, I know I have dreamt something, but normally I can't remember them.
Do you have a dream journal or a notebook pad that you could put in your bedside table?
I can, yes.
It's just going to take a little bit of, I think, priming the pump and get your little dream journal next to your bed. And sometimes it might just be a picture, but don't discard just a picture because a picture is worth a thousand words.
Mm-hmm. I do have a picture for you. I do remember one night last week when I woke up, I had a picture in my mind of a window, and on the window was a blind, and the blind was closed except for a little tiny area where I could see light. And behind the blind, you know, the cord, like where you lift the blind up, it seemed like it was tangled behind the blind. And as I tried to untangle the cord behind the blind, parts of the blind opened up and I could see light. And what I thought maybe God was trying to tell me in that was that he was opening my eyes to some things that I couldn't see before. Because lately I feel like he has been revealing things to me, you know, that before I couldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
Do you
and
see that or do you see something else in that?
Mm-hmm. Especially if there's tangles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's helping you to unravel the tangles.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then one other thing was, this was a while back, I just remembered I woke up and it was like I saw a spaceship. I saw the stars and there was just a spaceship and then all of a sudden out of the spaceship there were balls of light that shot out of it toward the Earth. It was almost like a science fiction movie, you know, but I felt there was something spiritual to that.
Well, it may be prophetic in nature and that sounds like you're going to probably need to pray about that.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to the other one that has the tangled cord,
uh-huh.
If you would go to Carlotta's website and get that crosswalk prayer,
mm-hmm.
then I believe that God may start showing you some knotty problems, is what I keep hearing, some knotty problems.
As in knots, not that she's naughty.
Mm-hmm, right. Yeah, like a K-N-O-T, naughty problems. Sometimes problems that are hard to figure out have lots of twists and ties to them.
Okay.
And once you start going through the crosswalk prayer, it'll just be amazing to you what God starts showing.
Okay.
Well, actually, Pam was a charter member of our Now Faith TV Ministry Training School as well, Teresa.
Oh, neat. Another
one.
What
you're
saying.
She's one of the few that really did her homework every time.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I have really been blessed through Carlotta.
Yes, she's such a blessing to us all because Pam, everything God gives her, I mean, she not only takes it, swallows it, she chews the cud, she meditates, she shares it, she prays it for other people. It's been awesome. I wish every student were as diligent as Pam is. And I wonder about the spaceship part. Is that the part she's going to be praying about too?
I think so. It seems like it's prophetic in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, when I pray, I get little visions from God more easily than I remember dreaming. But
mm-hmm. Well, it would indicate the heavenly realms, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's up higher than what normally, you know, it's up higher than an aircraft. It's a spaceship.
Yeah, it seemed like it was high. I mean, it was like into the stars. I could see stars, and
mm-hmm.
and then it was just like all of a sudden these balls of light shot out of the craft down toward the earth. So.
And this is not something I have found in a book, so it may or may not agree. But what I'm getting is that this spaceship represents the fact that, Pam, you really are ahead of your time. You're an adventurer, even though the enemy wanted you to be fearful and wanted you to be intimidated and reticent to go ahead, that I think God just wants to open your eyes to realize that he has given you lots of revelations that other people don't have, that you're ahead of your time, that you're, you know, you're not the turtle bringing up the rear, that you really do have a lot of, spaceship has power, it has speed, it's ahead, and that he is taking you on a great adventure.
That sounds exciting.
Okay.
Well, great. Thank you. I really appreciated, you know, the program tonight, and it was really interesting. Thank you, Teresa and Carlotta.
Oh, it's nice to talk with you, Pam.
And you too. Thank you so much.
Well, have you heard of symbolism like that before, Teresa? Is there anything that might? Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a ministry of some sort or a life, but it seems like it would indicate a ministry because aircrafts usually indicate ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Because it moves through the air and, it's way out past aircraft.
I'm wondering if we have anyone else on the line. Are you still there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Yes, who do we have here?
My name is Esther.
Esther, welcome to the program. What have you got to share with us, or did you want to ask something?
I wanted to ask about two certain dreams that I've been having for years. I mean, it never goes away. I have other dreams, too, but it's usually these. In the one dream I always have, I'm running through schools. Either it's a grade school, middle school, a high school, or a college. I always dream about school. I see myself running through the school, and there's always someone with me. And it's like they're teaching me. There's someone teaching me how to do these powerful moves and to jump over the building and to do different things. It's like really like a kind of like a Superman dream. And the other dream that I always have is I'm always dreaming that I'm in a huge hotel somewhere, a big, beautiful hotel. I see a lot of crystal. And I see a lot of beautiful plates on a table settings, and beautiful drapes and you know, things hanging from the tables and a lot of food. And I'm always dreaming about cake, whatever this is. I'm always, it's like a big banquet, and I'm always eating or seeing cake. And I just wanted to know if you could tell me what that could mean. I've been dreaming these for at least 15 years. Mm. Lots of food and cake. There's always cake. The school, the hotel, and the cake.
The cake. Now, cake usually is when you go to some sort of special event like a wedding or some significant event. It seems like that the food, usually when I have dreams about food, it has to do in like a context of church because the people all are partaking of the food and it's spiritual food and the people that are there are all partaking of the same food, so it would indicate the church. And it's a temporary place. We all do live in a temporary place. Even if, you know, we call this home, earth home now, it's not really our home. Those are two things that kind of stand out for that. But the fact that it's very beautiful, it's like extravagantly beautiful and a super abundance. Do you have anything on that, Carlotta?
Well, you know, I just kind of look at what it literally looks like, which I'm sure she's already done, but like God is continually spreading a banquet table in front of you, almost like Psalm 23, you know, even in the presence of mine enemies, he sets a table before me. But the fact that it's huge and that it's so beautiful, you know, it seems like God is really encouraging you, but do you know what direction this might be? Do you have a ministry at this time?
Yes, I do.
Oh,
I have online ministry. I do Bible studies on Wednesdays, and I have an online ministry with a Yahoo group and different things. And right now, there's people that are asking me to send CDs to India and stuff like that. And you know me through Reverend Terry.
So lots of people are being affected and are being fed. And I know from experience, when you have an online ministry, thank God for the little thing that at least counts how many people, you know, showed up or listened or visited. But maybe God is giving you the feedback that many people don't give or aren't able to give, letting you know that lots of people are being affected, that he is multiplying what you are sowing, and that the result is beautiful.
Hmm. Oh, that's very encouraging.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much.
And the school part with you running and someone is teaching you as you go and that it's powerful. Sounds like that's encouraging too. Or did you have a different feeling when you were dreaming that?
It's like there's always somebody with me. And it's kind of like even one time I had a dream. I know it's going to sound crazy, but I had a dream one time, a couple times. And it's like Bruce Lee was with me. And we all know that Bruce Lee got into philosophy, so to speak, and it's like he teaches me to do certain moves, like a fighting, jumping, like warrior type of things. I'm jumping over the building. I can see myself like superpowers. I remember one time I had a dream. I went to this school, and I went into, I don't know what kind of school it was. I think a college. And there was this big room, and I was sitting at a round table. I was sitting at a table, not necessarily round, but I was sitting at a table with superpowers. There were people there that had different powers. I mean, almost like a kid's dream, like a cartoon or something. And I could never figure. I remember I looked around, and I saw big leaders like T.D. Jakes and people like that. But there were about 10 or 15 people sitting at the table. There were a lot of people sitting there, and I was one of them. And I just couldn't believe that I was one of them sitting there. I don't know.
If it helps any, Esther, I have dreamed that the power that we have in Christ is like Spider-Man's power, that except it's way, way, way better. Way better. And even in this cartoon, you know, that he can go from building to building with almost no effort. Mm-hmm. He can reach beyond his own reach. The slightest movement of his hand actually sends things out that produce good effects. And God told me This is for all you TV lovers and cartoon lovers. He told me, he said, the power that I've given you is way, way, way better than Spider-Man's. So tell your grandchildren, if you have any, or your children, the power we have in Christ is way better than that. And as intercessors and the things that we decree as prophetic people, that it can go all around the globe, that there's really not a limit to it.
Do you think it has anything to do with our glorified bodies?
How would you see it as your glorified body?
I'm just wondering, because I know whenever Jesus came to the upper room, and he just walked through the door, and the door was locked. They had the disciples had the door locked, and he walked through the door, which means he didn't knock. Nobody had to use a key to unlock the door. His body, his new body, took him straight. Our bodies can go anywhere we want to go. I'm just wondering if maybe that's the area that school dream was going to.
Maybe.
I'm sorry, but to me it seems more like God's manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how he works through everybody. I mean, he develops different gifts in each one of us, but we are all on the same team.
And he's your tutor. Christ is in you, running with you, and he has all the power in the universe, and he's inside you.
That's exactly what it feels like, because I never get to see the face of the person that's with me, but you know that they're there.
And he's the Superman, so we're just a body-containing Superman, and we can just release him to do all the things that he's always done.
Amen.
I like the fact that when you're in school, you're running. You're not just sitting there learning. You're running through there. And so that means that your Christian walk is powerful and quick already.
And it's a comfort to me, because I love sharing with people, and my phone rings all the time, and, you know, the emails come, and all these things are going on. But it seems like if I'm doing a lot of that, then I wish I just had more alone time with Jesus and just hear from him. It's just so sweet and everything. But when I'm alone with Jesus, then I'm thinking, okay, I could be sharing what he's giving me right now with all these people. So I'm always wanting to be two places at once. But this is saying that he's in you, running with you, I think, tutoring you as you go.
Wow, thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
As you go. Father, I thank you for Esther. I thank you that that you just keep encouraging her and keep encouraging her, that you're inner, you're running inner, that you're all-powerful, you're insider, that it's like better than Superman power. I thank you that you have prepared a table before her, and that actually through her is this food is coming through her, I believe you're saying, and that lots and lots and lots of people are being affected. And I thank you for that day when you will reveal to all of us just how you multiplied the seeds that we were able to sow or to water, or even when we had to plow the ground, and you were doing it through us, that you will show us one day, and it'll just be a glorious marriage supper of the Lamb when we find out just how much you multiplied the seeds. And because she has an internet ministry, I thank you that everywhere that message goes out, that there are just explosions of love and power all over the earth. I thank you, Lord. We just praise your name. You're so good to us. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you. Well, I just want to tell you, I totally enjoyed this program tonight, and I will be back.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Let me say that next week has been a real surprise to me. I knew that my guest wanted to do it on Drawing Nigh to God, and I thought, well, some people will love it because it's kind of King James sounding. Other people might think, oh, more of the same. Let me tell you, this is not more of the same. She just inspired me so much with story after story about all different ways to, quote, draw nigh unto God. She brought it to life, man. It was God. So be sure. I've told people, if you don't download anything else, download these two, because they are just something that you can refer to over and over.
All right. Well, God bless you.
God bless you, Esther. And, you know, God's no respecter of persons. I believe if any of you heard Kurt sharing about, you know, he's been an intercessor. He's been doing the warfare. He's big on hearing God's voice and obeying him and sharing it. And that God is just equipping him with a gold-plated cannon on a hill in a high place.
I thought that was awesome.
I love it. You know, you have to be under authority for God to trust you with spiritual authority. And I think God is telling him, you're paying your dues, I can trust you, you're going to have it. And even if you feel like you're in the place where John is, that you're still a little bit in the dark, but the water's smooth, you know, and God's just trying to show you there's still some things below the surface, maybe some tree limbs, family tree limbs that he's still working on, but that you will have power. And the words that have been spoken against you will be broken, but also that the words that I'm putting in your mouth will be powerful. Amen?
Amen.
Let's see if we have another caller here. I want to welcome any of you that want to call now. We're in the last 7 or 8 minutes, so it's time to call. It's 724. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
And who do we have here?
My name is Susan.
Susan, what do you have to share with us tonight?
Well, I had a friend today that told me a dream that she had, and I thought it was an interesting dream. She's a school teacher. She's in her mid-30s. And she had a dream, and she, in the school district that she's in, there's international students, so there's students from all nationalities. And in her dream, she dreamt that she was watching the dream. She wasn't in the dream herself, and it was Indian music in the background, Eastern Indian music in the background, and there was a young couple in there, and they were dancing an Indian-type dance. And there was an older couple, and the older couple was teaching the younger couple how to do this Indian dance. And we were wondering if Teresa had maybe an interpretation about what that might mean. The dream, she said, was good. It wasn't anything negative about it. It was just she was watching this happening. She was wondering if it had to do with some of her international students.
Indian music is more foreign to us, right?
That's exactly right.
Uh-huh. So Indian music and dancing usually symbolizes worship. So she may have some students there that have Indian types of religion in the background.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. And, a lot of Indian.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the Lord may be showing her that she's to minister and pray as he's given her a moving picture. It's like a movie. He's highlighting a certain aspect. So it seems like what more than anything that stands out is the dancing. And so that would be the worship that
but she's not a Christian. Definitely not a Christian person. And you know, I don't know that she understands even our worship, the way we worship the Lord.
Well, we just pray
for
her.
She did denominational. That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought the dream to you, Susan, for interpretation?
Mm-hmm. Yes, she did. Yes, she did. And I know her a little bit. I don't know her very well, but I thought it was interesting that she brought the dream to me. She said, I've got a good one for you, Susan. What do you think about this? And I said, well, I did believe that it had some aspects about learning. It seemed to me that there was dance in it, and I believe that showed the foreign part of it. And since she even felt it had to do with her own students, I felt that, you know, I agreed with her on that. But I said the part was there was teaching going on in it, and she's a teacher. And I really felt that since the people that she was watching were not people that she knew,
mm-hmm.
I said, you know, I believe that I just told her, and I was sitting in an atmosphere where I really couldn't say the Lord, or, you know, I had to watch my words very carefully. But I told her that I really felt she was going to come into learning something new herself, and the students could be inspiring it to her. And there was between the old teaching the young, and I said, and you have that responsibility to teach the young, and maybe you were getting a glimpse of how you're going to reach these young people through through some kind of new learning experience or some method of teaching. And I agree with you. I mean, if I could have, if it had been a Christian, I would have probably gone the route of the worship. But since she's a teacher, it really felt, and it could be that, you know, it was kind of confusing. And we weren't able to talk alone where we could really, I could interview her more to understand the dream better. But just wanted to get your feel on it. I see where you use Ira Milligan's book. Is that, am I correct?
Yes.
I love, that's my favorite dream book too, and I can recommend that to your audience of listeners. It's an excellent dream book. He goes by first use in the Bible with a lot of the symbolism, and he teaches a lot about dream interpretation in that. Yeah, it's a good book. My favorite.
It's awesome. It is awesome because God does talk to us through dream symbolism.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Susan, I wonder if it's possible if God was encouraging her to come to you, too, because she sees that it really is a godly principle for the older in the faith, at least, to teach the younger.
You know, it's a miracle that I'm even allowed to talk about these things in the teacher's lounge at school in a public school system. But I've been getting a lot of that. The teachers will come to me off the shy and tell me some things. And they're all interested in it, around the table, eating and things like that. I can talk to a certain degree about dream interpretation. They're all interested. But you know what I've been doing recently? I've been having fun with the students because I've been interpreting their dreams. And the Lord has been showing me how to, they will say, well, where are you getting this information from? And I'll say, oh, from the Creator. And I've learned how to be a 007 infiltrator in the school system.
Father, I thank you for Susan. I thank you for the deep love that you've given her for people, for students, for other teachers. And because of that, you're even giving them dreams about that you're going to provide someone to teach them.
I
believe maybe this is a multi-layer dream, that it's not only them teaching their students, but bringing people to teach them. We thank you for your faithfulness and that you are connecting us with people that care about us, believe in us, have our best interest at heart, and will teach us how to worship and how to dance. And Father, we just thank you. We just praise your name. We praise your name for everyone that's listened. And I pray for God dreams for them, that they will know that they are hearing you, that you have a plan for their life. I thank you for Teresa. I thank you for blessing her. And Father, we just encourage each one to join us next week again for more Crosswalk Talk each Monday night, and be ready to share what God is showing you. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless
God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.